streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is October 3rd, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have an awesome show for you tonight. We have Ms. Sharon Pate Bell, and her story goes back to being the burden of a single motherhood and on the backdrop of losing everything in Hurricane Katrina. It made Sharon a desperate woman. Her husband was found murdered, and she used alcohol to ease the pain until better options came along. Sharon, since then, has been able to change her life, and we're going to hear her story tonight about her struggles and triumphs. And before we bring Sharon to the show, let me welcome Boyd.
Yes, I want to just thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and I would like to thank everyone for always supporting our radio show and supporting our movement. And once again, we would definitely like to thank Ms. Sharon for being on the show tonight and spreading her message, and pray tonight that her message touched someone's life and people to understand that this tragedy can happen to anyone. So without further ado, we'd like to pass the mic over to Ms. Sharon to formally introduce herself.
How are you? How are you, Pastor Gordon? Pastor Lucinda, great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, and welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you.
Sharon, you have gone through so much in your lifetime. First of all, before let's go back to the beginning. You grew up in New Orleans. Tell us a little bit about your childhood and what it was like growing up in New Orleans.
Well, you know, growing up in New Orleans, it's a high crime city. But I was raised at I did attend First Assembly of God Christian School, so I did have some basic knowledge of God, but it was still the influence and the environment. It was always pulling me, you know. I'm from the uptown area. I'm from Broadmoor area, which is a well-known quiet area. Lived there, was raised there. I'm an only child. I guess it started for me, I'm an adopted child. So I was adopted by a family that wanted a child. The husband was, my father was a very loving man, but my mother was a witch. She practiced witchcraft. So there was always a struggle for me.
There was a lot of witchcraft down in the New Orleans area, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's very common. They believe in spell casting and taking hair and taking your clothes, and it was hard. It was hard growing up. It was always a struggle.
So how was that for you with your mom doing witchcraft and you going to a religious school? What, was there a big conflict or anything, or is it something that she put you into?
Well, my father did. He was a Christian, and you could see that the hand of God was on my life as a young girl. And I had learned about God and learned to trust God. And by going to the Assembly of God, it was I was around a lot of Christian people. So it basically kept a shield of protection around my life. But she was always tampering and always doing things that burning candles, and it was different.
I can imagine.
It was different.
Yeah. So, growing up, you went to the religious school and you graduated high school. Is that correct?
Right. I graduated from high school there.
Okay. And then after high school, tell us a little bit about what you did as your job and what you did as an adult at that time.
I was so tortured by her and wanted to get away from her so bad. At that time, it was a lot of women being in the non-traditional fields. And I heard about they were accepting women as merchant seamen. So the first thing I did was I went to the Union Hall and caught it, jumped on a ship and just ran for 20, I would say over 20-some years. Over 20-some years. I worked as a merchant seaman.
That's a long time. And you got to travel all over the world. You must have seen so many awesome countries and cities.
Yeah, I've had the chance to go to England, Germany, France, the Netherlands, just the European run. I did a lot of that European run, and sometimes I would sit on the boat at 6 months just to stay away.
I have to laugh because when I watched your little video, which we do have on our website if anybody wants to watch it, I have to laugh because you said you had like a filthy mouth. You learned the sea language of the merchant marine. It's hard to picture you cussing up a storm.
Well, yeah, that was me. That was me.
Wow. Well,
Greta Crunston.
Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
I said, yeah, every other word. That was the way we lived.
Right.
And just to kind of subdue the pain of the childhood and growing up with that back and forth and the verbal abuse from her and the torture. People don't believe that witchcraft is real, but it does have some effect. But if you stay under the blood, and which I didn't, I mean, I was ready to experience the world, and that's what I did. I battled with marijuana for many, many years. Many, many years. People say, well, how you did that and you was a merchant seaman? We always had a trick. It's always a trick to the trade. But my father was always there for me and always there to support me. And I'm living off of some of his blessings this day, and I thank God for him. He died a horrible death.
What happened
I know
to
that
you?
What
happened to your mother?
She died. She died in that condition. She died practicing shamanism. She died that way. She never, I would witness to her, I would talk to her about the Lord. She never would make a change. She just always loved burning candles and incense and casting spells. doing things like that.
Right. And we want everyone to know that's out here listening that witchcraft is nothing to play around with. It's not anything that you want to get connected up with or even try playing around, because it is real. And, you know, you can allow evil into your life. You know, it is your choice, but it can be allowed if that's what you choose. And, you know, we're just urging you to not get involved in that and to stay close to God. Let God be your light and your guide.
Amen.
I want to go on a little bit more, Sharon, and I'm not sure if you were in the merchant seaman job when you met your husband or not, but you said you were involved into marijuana growing up, and
right.
You got involved with a man who you didn't, I guess, know a lot about his background. You found out later that he was living a life that he shouldn't, and was involved with some drugs and was actually a heroin addict. So tell us a little bit about how that relationship got started and what you went through.
Well, my father, he always saw me running, and he said to me one day, let me say this, any will go at any cost. He could get your soul. He can't get you one way, he'll set you up another way. And I didn't know. I was introduced to him. My father and my husband's father were friends. And the young man came and said that he wanted a change in life, and that he was looking for a good wife. And I never questioned. He had a great job. He had a great job. And I never questioned about the things that he was doing for me. Then one day he decided to tell me that, and he said it just how I'm going to say it, I'm a junkie. And here it is, I'm thinking, I married a junkie? And, of course, you know, living in that lifestyle or being around someone like that, that has even a more devastating effect on you. And what I did to numb the pain was I used marijuana. And I've never used any intravenous drugs. But I was so hurt and so embarrassed, so humiliated. He kept a job. He raised our son. And one day I got a phone call that he had been murdered. And I just could not believe how I had to struggle my entire life. A witchcraft mother, to being married to a heroin addict, being given up by my real mother, being adopted. I just didn't, it was like everything was always against me. It would look like everywhere I would turn, I would just run into a brick wall. And I would ask God, what have I done except be born? I didn't ask to be given away. I didn't ask to marry a heroin addict. I didn't ask to be adopted by this family. So I didn't know anything except to just do whatever I could do to numb my pain so that I could survive. That's all I did.
Wow. That's heavy. You went through a lot.
Yes, I did.
Now, what happened that your husband, you got a phone call one day that your husband was murdered, and he was actually shot, killed, execution style.
Yeah.
That right there had to be really, really hard to deal with.
It was. It was a day I'll never forget. It's a day that I hope that no young woman will ever have to live. And it's a day that when you're asking to get married, you know, that's why the Bible says don't join two together unless they be agreed. You need to really seek God before you marry someone. I noticed he was always nodding or sleepy, and he would just say, "I'm tired." And one day we went to get our son from school, and I started pressing him and saying, "What's wrong with you? Something's wrong with you. Are you on some medicine, or know anything about heroin?" And he admitted to me in the school recreation room, which was the wrong place to tell me that. And I just went numb. I could feel my inner self, and I could feel my mind when it just went to another place. I'm just not going to deal with this. I knew right then and there that I was in trouble.
Yeah, that had to be a situation that, gosh, how do you deal with that, you know?
I didn't. I just continued to work and do the best that I could.
And then you turned to alcohol.
When I found out, I drank every day. Then I realized one day that I was an alcoholic. And I said, I'm destroying my life, and I'm destroying my son's life. And I remember that my son came to the bed one day. It started right after Katrina, and right before Katrina. And I was literally such a drunk. The kid would try to go in there and fix me food and bring me food before he would go to school. He was taking care of me instead of me trying to take care of him. And Katrina was the best thing that could have happened to me. We had a chance to leave New Orleans. By then, I had did my 20 years. I was able to retire. I relocated, and I just started to just pick up my word and read my word every day and ask God to help me, because the kid had already lost one parent and he was on his way to losing his mother.
Right. You know, that's hard for kids, and a lot of kids with alcoholic parents, whether it be one or both, do end up kind of with the roles reversed. They, a lot of times with drugs or alcohol, end up taking care of the parents, and then a lot of times just lose their childhood because they're so busy trying to keep things happy and keep things peaceful and keep things going.
Yeah, it's a lot of stress on them. But I thank God for his blood. I thank God for his word. I thank God for 700 Club. I just started reaching out, looking at Christian program and Christian shows every day on the TV. And this one particular day, this guy was talking about how he had an alcohol problem and how alcohol had destroyed his life. I was like, you know, I gotta change. I gotta get over this. And the next thing I knew, I was on my knees and my hands were up and I was speaking in tongues, and I knew that life was about to be better. And God instantaneously, let me say this, miraculously healed me from alcoholism without the shakes, without the shivers, just instantaneously delivered to the point that I didn't even remember that I drank. Someone asked me to give me a drink, and before I knew it, I said, I don't drink. And that's when I realized that I had changed. That's just how messed up my mind and my body was. I didn't even realize that I was not drinking. I had been in a fog for so long. And I would study my word every day, and I would read my word every day, and I would look at Christian broadcasts from the time I got up to the time I went to bed. I would play Christian music. I would play anything I did. It was always about the Lord and about the blood and about his word. And now, I wasn't in a church, and the TV ministries were was my church. And thank God, I've been sober and I've been clean ever since.
That's awesome. I'm going to turn the mic over to Boyd here for a minute.
Yes, Ms. Shan, I've been listening to your testimony, and it's a very powerful testimony. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, God allowed you to, you know, take heed to his word and listen to what he was saying to you. And now you are able to not only help yourself, but give back to help others with the message that he allowed you to live to tell. So that is a great inspiration within itself, you know?
Yes, sir. And I went back to college, Pastor Boyd, and I just graduated with an MBA in national business. And my son is in the Honors College of Civil Engineering.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We always got to say what he can do, you know what I mean, because he's the only one that can make anything right, no matter how much we push. He's not going to give it to you until he's ready for you to have it. And that's something that a lot of people out here truly don't understand, you know what I mean? Nothing is gave to you until he's ready to know that you're ready to handle it and take it to another page, you know. And it's not just about self when he give it to you. It's about giving back to help others to know that he is who he is, you know.
Yes, sir. And I witnessed, he delivered me, Pastor Boyd, let me say this, right in the middle of a drug-infested area when we moved here. And the drug addicts and the drug dealers, they would pass my house, and I would witness to them every day. And I would just say, you know, Jesus love you. I didn't go out there quoting a whole bunch of scriptures and say you're going to hell and you're going to die. And you would be surprised, Pastor Boyd. They would just come and just touch my fence. And they would say, can you pray for me? And the drug dealers in that area had commanded them, saying, you know, that lady right there, it's something different about that lady. Don't y'all mess with that lady's house. Don't nobody break in her house. And God protected us. And it was right by the railroad tracks. And every time the train would pass, it would shake the house. And one day I remember I was upset because it was so loud. And the Lord said, every time that train passed, you need to just bust out in the praise, because that's how I'm going to take your life. He says, I'm taking it from destruction. Just as fast as that train's going, that's just how fast your life is going to change. And let me say this. He commanded me not to go back to the environment that I came up in. From that day to this day, I have not been back to New Orleans. I don't visit New Orleans. I don't go to New Orleans. I stay close to the Word. I stay close to the things of God. I pray for people that are addicted on a nightly basis,
Amen. And that's what the whole mission is. You know, people don't know that, you know, nobody knows what mission God wants us to be on until you have that personal walk with Him, you know, and you learn what your purpose is in life, you know. And that's what I tell everybody, that, you know, we got, quote unquote, we got people out here in the world who never lived in a gang infested neighborhood, never went hungry, never, you know, never been in that type of environment, but they are so quick to judge the people that come from that type of environment. But what they fail to realize is if they so-called believe in the Father that we call God, you know, God walked among the prostitutes, the dope fiends, the hustlers, and the murderers, you know. He didn't just walk in the suburbs, you know what I'm saying? He walked among the ruthless of the ruthless, because He wanted the world to see that this is what I can do. You know what I mean? I can change people's lives. I can change people's mind frame of thinking and how they talk and how they walk, you know. And that's, you know, what you are today. You are a living witness and a living testimony what He can do, you know what I'm saying? And that's each and every day. And that's what I try to get across to these people when I go out and speak, you know. Because you done been to college and you got these big degrees or you're doing so good in your life, don't ever forget that God can drop you to your knees that you lose everything. Then what you going to do? Because you got to know Him. You got to know Him, what you rich, poor, blind, crippled, crazy. You know? You got to know Him.
You got to know Him.
That's the bottom line.
For 3 years, let me say, Pastor Boyd, it was just me and my Word. And you would be surprised. I can't call their names, but all type of good drug lords, they would come like Zacchaeus in the night. And they would say, can you pray for me? I really don't want to be this way. You know, but I don't have no other way to live. You know, I'm trying to take care of my family. And I would never criticize them. They didn't know a lot about me, except that I would just always be with my Word, or I would go on the porch sometime and read my Word. And, then I would, you know, just share love. Do you know, Pastor Boyd, they wrote a song about me and gave me a song on a CD.
Amen. You see what God can do to a woman who believed in Him.
Yes, sir. You can't criticize people. You never know what they're going through.
Right.
You never know what they're going through. And sometimes I would be looking out the window. The Lord would say, go look out the window. Do you know they would just be standing at the window? They would just be standing at the fence, holding on to the fence. You know, just like if I stand right here, I'll be all right.
Right. So, you know, it's like we hope that people that's listening to this broadcast tonight, we hope they definitely paying close attention that, you know, God ain't just walked in no suburbs. You know what I'm saying? He walked among the ruthless of the ruthless, because this is the type of God that we serve, a man that loves everybody. Not just a man or a woman that done lived all their life with the silver spoon in their mouth. He loved the man, the worstest man and the worstest woman in the ghetto and across the land as well. You know what I mean? So he have no pick, because he loved everybody, bottom line.
That's right, and His love is unconditional. And
yes.
We really need to get out and witness more and tell people about the Lord and stop staying up in the church and thinking that, okay, I'm doing better now. It's all about me. What are you doing for the people who are still hurting? I thank God that He blessed me today to be a college graduate or a grad student. But I don't forget about where I come from, Pastor Boyd. I'm real soft-hearted toward people who I see with an addiction or who I see suffering from an addiction.
Bottom line, you know. But that's, that's a great thing, that you can look back and see, like the old folks say in the old days, you can look back and say what God has done for you. You can look back and say, wow, you know, he brought me into the morning light and took me out of darkness. See, so you can continue to say that and speak that across the nation. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is. And that's what's so great about his love. You know, his love is unconditional and his grace is merciful, you know?
And he's a forgiving God. When God cleans you up, he says he throws your sins as far as the east is from the west. But sometimes people are so quick to want to remind you of who you were and where you come from and what you did and how you did it and how bad you did it. And, I don't pay him any mind. If you want to live in my past, Pastor Boyd, I tell him you can live in my past, but I'm living in my future.
Amen. Because the past is exactly what you just said. The past.
My pain. The past. Amen. Under the blood.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
I didn't know no better. You don't know what I went through. You don't know how I had to survive.
Right. So don't knock me.
That was really not me. Really wasn't.
Right. That was just a person that was going through the motions to get to where she at today, and that was to get to on the father's side, not the bottom line.
That's right.
We must go through to get to the other side. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, we must go through, and that's what people fail to realize, you know. And like I said, I don't knock the rich man, and I don't knock the man or the woman who done had the silver spoon in their mouth all their life. I don't knock that. But what I have to say all the time is that don't get the game twisted now. You know what I mean? Because if you ain't never been through nothing, you definitely don't know what to do when the storm comes. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so you know, you got to understand that life is real out here. And, you know, a lot of people ain't born with the silver spoon in their mouth, where they got the parents who's been rich and the money that's been handed down to every generation, you know? No. So we got to understand, we have to look at the low man and the low woman on the tow pole that's going through something too, you know what I mean? But the best thing in life is when you can make it to the other side and say, look back and say, I look back and wonder, you know what I mean? Where would I be if you didn't have mercy and grace on me?
Amen.
Yes, indeed.
Pastor Boy, I love people. I love to tell people about the Lord. I drive transportation here. That's how I put myself through college here.
Amen, sister.
And they would call me, my transportation, the Mercy Transportation. Pastor Boy, I would show up at certain people's homes, and this guy would be beating this girl up. And when I would walk up under the anointing, do you know I've seen hands froze where the guy would just be backing up and he'd be wanting to hurt the girl and he couldn't, or an addict would get in the car and I would just have a time of just telling them about how God changed my life, what God had done for me, see tears. And just to see some of these people who people don't know. Everybody that's suffering from an addiction, Pastor Boyd, is not smelly. You got some people with suits on that have addictions.
Right, amen.
And they would tell me, you know, I listened to you, I picked up my word, and I'm doing better.
That's the bottom line, you know? You know, tonight, you know what I mean, while we got you on the line tonight, I would like for you to go down and say a nice prayer tonight while we got you on the air, that it might touch someone's life.
Yes, sir. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for being Lord. I thank you for being God, Savior, healer, deliverer. God, I thank you, Lord. God, right now, God, I thank you for our guests in the chat room, God. I thank you for the callers that are on the line, God. God, people suffer every day, God. They suffer mentally. They suffer emotionally, God. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you touch every hurt, every pain, God. God, I pray and I speak your word, God. You said, God, that if we repent, God, and we come to you, God, that you would heal us, God. God, heal, God. Heal and deliver, God. Lord, set your people free, God. Satan, the Lord rebukes you. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. Lord, we pray for every addict, every drunk, God, every person that's, every pedophile, God, every child abuser, God. Lord, we pray for the witch, God. God, we pray, God, Lord, that you touch them. Lord, that you send your word, God. God, that you send them, God. Send them a mentor, God, like you did me, God. Let them learn of you, God. Let them sit at your feet, God. Lord, I know you're able, God. And, God, I trust you, God. And, God, I've seen you do it over and over and over and over again, God. And, Lord, I thank you for Pastor Boyd, and I thank you for Sister Boyd, God. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share, God. Lord, you're opening new avenues, God. Because, God, you know, this is new to me. You know, all I do is just walk around and tell people, God, that you love them, God. I'm not used to this exposure, God. But, God, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done, God. I thank you for how you've healed, God. And, Lord, right now I pray for restoration of the mind, God. I pray for that young lady right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, God, that you touch every cell, God. In the name of Jesus, God, God, heal, God, deliver, God, make whole again like you did for me, God. Lord, I thank you and I worship you and I praise you and I love you and I'm forever grateful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, Amen. Sister. That was Amen. A very, very powerful prayer.
Amen. Amen, God. Thank you.
Definitely
thank
sure.
You.
That done touch somebody just by listening to that powerful prayer.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor, hallelujah. Let's say this. Never give up on anyone.
That's right.
If you have a family member who's struggling with addiction, don't give up. It's never too late.
That's right. We gotta just continue to pray for those that don't have the strength to pray for themselves at that time that they're going through. So we appreciate you very much too, because that's what you do. That's part of your ministry now, is to pray for other people, and I think that's an awesome ministry for you to pray for addicts. And tell us a little bit about what you're doing with that.
You know, people always want to be attached with a title, but I don't call myself an intercessor. All I say is that usually every addict around 3 in the morning, they're getting a little tired, and they're trying to find somewhere to lay their head down. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I noticed that the Lord will wake me up between three and four. I'm always up in the morning, and I'm always praying for those who are suffering from different addictions, either just not knowing how to talk to people, or either just being abusive toward the kids, or either just being self-destructive toward themselves, thinking that, you know, I can drink and it's not going to do me anything, unless God come back and set your chemical body on track. It takes a miracle, because you know and I know Some famous people have died from alcoholism and have just coded out, got sober and coded out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very true.
They never made it back. And just to look at what God has done and what he's doing and how he's opening door by door for me, just to let people know, never give up on anyone. Never talk about what you won't do to anyone. Learn to pray and love everyone unconditionally.
That's right. You know, with that, I was going to play this song at the end of the show, but with that, because you've said it several times, and it just seems the right time, you keep saying never give up. And I want to play this song by a young man from Los Angeles. He grew up in South Central, and he was involved in gangs and drugs, and his mother gave him up when he was 18 months old. She chose drugs over him, and he was put in the foster care system and grew up in the streets, kicked out of his foster home at age 16, so he was on the street fending for himself, in and out of prison and in the juvenile system. And at the age of 22, he tried to commit suicide, and he woke up in the hospital feeling like a failure, that he couldn't even commit suicide properly. And so eventually, after this whole incident, he realized that God had a purpose for him. And he had already been rapping and doing different things. So now he's rapping and singing positive messages to the youth. And he was just on our show about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I want to play this song that he's putting out, that he just recently put out, called Never Give Up, and it's about to the youth, never give up, and he's also preaching suicide prevention and education to the youth in his area. So let's listen to that song, and then we will be right back with Sharon.
Look, homies, what's good with y'all?
What's up with y'all,
huh? What's good?
Can't make no shots.
I mean, you know, can't give up, though. You got to keep trying, you know. Practice makes perfect. You know, that's for all y'all. You know what I mean? Just, you know, stay focused. Don't give up. You know, never give up. No matter what it is in life, you can't give up on anything. That's real. You know what I mean? So just keep your shot going. All y'all, you know.
Okay.
I look forward to coming to the game one day. NBA, man. I'm trying to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, loved ones. Y'all be good, all right? I just came to check on y'all.
That's
all
right.
Just don't stop. Going for your dream to achieve in your life. Gotta take a chance like
welcome back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Tonight we're here with Sharon Pate Bell, and she's sharing her message, one of struggle and triumph. And Sharon, we'd just like to thank you so much tonight for coming on and sharing your story. And can you give us some more advice? What can you tell young women who are maybe in that situation of the drug life, the street life? What could you share with them that might help them turn their life?
Always remember, people are going to have opinions. But grab a hold of your Bible and tell yourself every time you read a scripture, that's what I am. That's what God says about me. And learn your word for yourself. And dedicate your life to bettering yourself. And God will open the door. I'm going to be honest with you. Once you start reading that word, God will open doors for you. Is every day easy for me now? No. Do people still talk about me? Yeah. But I just let them talk, and I just continue to stay focused and go forward. I just graduated, like I said, with my third degree, getting ready to start doctoral school soon. Or anything, God has opened the choices for me to be an airplane pilot, anything I want to do. Never give up on yourself. And let people say what they want to say about you. Let people remember your past. You forget your past, and you focus on what that word says about you. That's all you need to do. Let people be them. You know, people, let me say this. I was wondering one time, I was studying, and the Lord said to me, he said, do you know why I died on the cross with a murderer on one side and a thief on one side? And I said, no. He says, because those are the last two spirits that you'll have to deal with in these last days. People will kill you with their mouth. They'll murder you with their mouth. They don't have to put a gun to your head. They'll say all kind of stuff against you to try to kill your spirit. But you have to remind yourself that you are what the word says you are. If the word says you're healed, you're healed. If the word says you're delivered, you're delivered. And when that word says you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that's what you are. Amen?
That's right. Amen. I wanted to go back a little bit, Sharon, and you were in New Orleans when Katrina came through, and you lost everything. Talk a little bit about that and some of the things you went through at that time.
It was like living in a war zone. It's something you can never imagine. Can you imagine people who had addictions, who couldn't get to their drug of choice? And that's what a lot of it was. It was people just cutting up. It was no food, no water, nothing. And I think that is when I realized that all I had was my faith and my family. That is when I can honestly tell you I started saying, you know what, I'm living wrong. I need to get closer to God. I need to take care of this kid. I need to take care of better care of myself. And to be honest with you, it started in the shelter. I think that is where I really started to realize if I don't change now, I'm going to lose. And with everybody looking for an apartment, I landed in an apartment. People were snatching up apartments like crazy. And the Lord allowed me to get an apartment to put a roof over myself and my baby's head. And I thank him for everything that he's done for me. I thank him for everybody who sold a seed in my life. I didn't take the money like most people did and bought Gucci bags. I bought a little laptop and took myself back to school. Now everybody say I live like an old lady.
Well, you did great for yourself and for your son. I mean, you've gotten your education. You're still, you know, continuing that, and your son is doing awesome and getting his education.
Yes,
and you know, little by little, you know, you just see the blessings in your life, and things just keep getting better and better.
Amen. Amen. And go back to the ones who you feel like you violated. And tell your kids, you know, I'm sorry I lived that way. You know, I just didn't know any better.
Right.
You know, after a while, they forgive you. They see you. You know, they watch you. They see if you're going to mess up. And after a while, they, you know, people start saying, okay, you know, maybe she's changed. Everybody won't be happy for you, but God always has somebody in your way. You know, and then it's an opportunity. You know, I want to thank you and Pastor Boyd for fighting to the show. You know, God will open doors for you. Who ever thought I would be on Blog Talk Radio?
That's right. Well, you're here for a reason, and I met you through somebody else who, you know, who I met last year, and, you know, it's just God works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he does. And I want to thank you for the opportunity. And I want to say to all the people out there, you can get it right one day at a time, one step at a time.
That's right.
One choice at a time, one word at a time, one scripture. Do you know I quoted one scripture for about 2 years before I learned two scriptures?
Okay.
My life has been redeemed from death and destruction. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned.
Amen.
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 Thank God.
Do you have any last shout outs that you want to give to anyone in particular? Or any last messages that you'd like to share?
I just want to say, don't ever count anybody out. I'm writing a book, and the title of the book is "Don't Count Me Out."
Right.
It talks about my life, where I come from, all the pain. It doesn't matter if you go to the brinks of hell. God can snatch you back from the brinks of hell, and He can turn your life around. And it can put you on the right path. I have to make choices. Now, you have to make choices every day because people will try to get next to you. But it gets easier with time. It gets better with time.
That's right.
Today, some of the things I used to do, I don't think about doing those things anymore. You know, rather than cuss you out because you cut me off, I might say, God bless you, you know?
That's right.
You know, but don't worry about what people say about your past. Let people, if they want to live in your past, let them live in your past. You look at the future. You just keep going toward the prize because eventually God's going to deal with them.
Amen. So with that being said, Ms. Sharon, we just want to thank you once again
thank
for
you.
Coming to the show.
Thank you.
Delivering a most powerful message, and not alone a most powerful message, a most powerful prayer tonight that I know have touched someone, if not many. So we're going to just leave the air tonight with that thought pattern right there. And once again, we're thanking everyone who's tuned in tonight, and we're thanking everyone who support our radio show and support our movement. And if you have not joined the movement yet, please log on to our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And if you have not received both of the books yet, please log on to our online store and order the Streets Don't Love You Back book and the Never Hit a Woman book. And also, don't forget, we have our clothesline out. The holiday is coming up, Christmas. You might want to get your family members some for Christmas. So make sure you take time out to log on to our store and purchase some of our Streets Don't Love You Back clothesline. And also, if you need me to speak somewhere, just log on to the website. My wife is my manager, and, you know, Speaking Engagements is right up on our movement site. It gives you directions on what all it takes to get me to where you need me to be. And we just thanking God for everything, and we just thanking Him for what He do for the movement and how He bless us to not only help ourselves but to help others as well. So that's the most gracious thing in life, when you can give back and help others. So without that being said and done, I'm going to pass the mic back over to the missus. And we just want to thank all our members inside the prison walls as well, all 50 prisons that receive our newsletter that goes out every month. We just want to thank them for, you know, educating the kids and the adults that's on their way back out here to the free world, and getting their mind and their head on tight to get back out here and do something right and educate others as well. And we just thanking everybody for all the blessings that come our way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon, so much for being our gracious guest tonight. And we would like to continue networking with you. And when you do get your book ready, let us know so we can help you get that message out there.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you, too. Have a great night.
You, too.
Good night.
Good night.
We are going to go out tonight with a song, All For You by Kendall Day, and he's the new artist out of Detroit, being represented by Grand Slam Records. And we want you to join us next Wednesday night with Mr. Brian O'Neill. He is a musician and an advocate for the homeless in Detroit, Michigan. And we're going to be able to hear his awesome story and what he's doing to help others. We are now going to go out with Kendall Day, All For You.
Everything is all for you. Everything's all for you. The cost, the clothes, the way that it goes. All for you. You know that it's all for you, baby. Everything is all for you. All for you, baby. Everything is all for you. Hey.